And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Oh, snap!
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Oh, it is time to snap out of it and feed your dog the healthiest food possible. But there's so much information in the marketplace, you don't know what to believe. That's why this is the Raw Dog Food Truth, where my co-host Carmen Goudreau and I are going to tell you everything you ever wanted to know, and probably stuff you could care less about the raw dog food diet. How are you today, Carmen?
I'm doing great, Dee Dee.
Well, as I always say, the G in the Goudreau is for great, Carmen the Great Goudreau. What kind
you,
of name
Dee Dee.
Is Goudreau, by the way? Is that French or what is that?
Yes, it's very French. It's actually like Smith in the United States.
Does that mean it's common in France?
Right, and Canada.
Gotcha. Well, I tell you what you got. You got all the info on the raw dog food diet, because Carmen's been feeding raw for what, over 25 years. I've been feeding raw for 16 years. But you know what, Carmen? There's still a lot of confusion in the marketplace. And certainly when we get new clients at rawdogfood.com, the question that we always get is, how do I transition my dog from kibble to raw? And many people, it's scary for them. It's very scary. We've talked about this on other shows. I think that they have this connotation in their mind that they're going to make their dog sick, or that there's going to be some sort of bacteria, or they're going to give them something that's going to, you know, make them have diarrhea. So there's all of these fears that surround the raw dog food diet and switching them off the kibble to the raw. So we want to make it easy for them. This episode, it will be on our educational page on rawdogfood.com, which we are working day and night to get up a bunch of information for all of our clients and our newbies, and even people that have been feeding raw for a long time. But let's talk about what is the easiest way, Carmen. Somebody says, listen, I've done the research. I have friends that are feeding raw. I see their dog looks amazing. I want to feed my dog raw, but I don't know how to start. So what would you tell them right off the bat?
Well, the easiest thing to do is you want to maintain your dog's regular kibble diet when you start transitioning. And depending on the size of your dog, so like say you have, you know, a 10 to 15 pound dog, a small dog, you want to do what I call the meatball approach. You want to do three dime-sized meatballs, and you want to put them on the very edge of the bowl so that the dog, you know, especially if the dog is not real gung-ho about the raw diet, that he still has access to his regular kibbled food. Now, there's going to be some dogs that are going to eat those three dime-sized meatballs and look at you and say, where's the rest? I'm not going to eat this kibble anymore. But you can't transition them that fast. Otherwise, you're going to have digestive upset, because the average dog's pancreas cannot change its enzyme profile for 4 days. It takes 4 days of the new food to be present before you can actually start decreasing your kibble and increasing your raw diet. So And the most important part of this is, a lot, even though you've added those three dime-sized meatballs to that, to the small dog, still need to really watch his bowels. We call this bowel tolerance, because that's your real indication that your pancreas has kicked in and is starting to produce the correct enzymes to digest the raw diet. All right, because the pancreas gets kind of stuck when you're feeding the same kibble day in and day out for a long time. It gets stuck in that those are the only enzymes it produces is what it needs for that kibbled dog food. So whenever you add something new, you know, it takes the dog, like I said, 4 days on the average for the dog's pancreas to start producing the correct enzymes to digest the raw. And so let me regress a little bit and go back to the size of meatballs you use. So for a small dog, you use a dime-sized meatball. For a medium-sized dog, you're going to use a quarter-sized meatball. And for a large dog, you're going to use a half-dollar-sized meatballs. And you only use three. And again, you want to wait and present those three meatballs at every meal for the next 4 days and watch their stools. So you're going to have to, you know, watch, go outside and watch and see what things look like. If the stools are loose and or sloppy, then you might want to decrease your meatballs and see if that brings the stools back to being nice and firm. And then, again, bring back your third meatball when the dog's stools have returned, and you'll see that it'll work again. Now, even with these three meatballs, like I said, some dogs are going to go woof those three meatballs down and say, yum, yum, that's all I want to eat, and not want to, you know, eat their kibble anymore. But you can't do that, all right? You can't start decreasing the kibble and feeding all raw unless you want to deal with the diarrhea that goes along with it, okay? Because the pancreas is not producing the correct enzymes yet. So if the dog, now we're going to take the other side, if the dog looks at those three meatballs and goes, oh, yuck, I'm not going to eat those, okay? That's strange, it's foreign. It's just like children when you're trying to, you know, increase their diet and broaden their palate. A lot of children are very, very against trying new foods. Well, so are some dogs. And so they may not even eat their kibble because those three meatballs are in the dog food bowl. And if that happens, if that's the reaction you get, you want to take the three meatballs out of the bowl and put them in a little dish to their bowl and just leave it there. Now, you can't leave it there all day because, of course, you don't it's room temperature and you don't want bacteria to grow. So you give it a good 10, 15 minutes after he's eaten his kibble and see if he sniffs it or has any interest in it. If he doesn't, you've got to pick it up, wrap it up, and put it in the refrigerator for your next meal. And if you have that reaction 2 to 3 times with that same protein of meatballs or whatever blend you're feeding, you're going to want to switch to a different protein. But usually if you're feeding a chicken kibbled dog food, usually the chicken blend meatballs will work really well. Usually they transition to the same protein they're used to eating. It's not always. I promise you there's some dogs that they don't go for it at first. So it has to be their decision to do this. In other words, don't start restricting their kibble to where so that they're so hungry, you're hoping they're going to eat the raw. Instead of doing that, I want you to switch proteins to find something that they like, or make sure your protein source has got tripe in it, because that's one of the things. Dogs like their food stinky, and as long as it's got tripe in it, most of the time it usually attracts them, you know, even if it's after a couple tries. So it's not unusual.
Right, yeah. It is as I've read, you have to almost let the dog think it's his idea.
That's right.
To eat this new food. So I have, you know, studied and read where it says, you know, like just like what you said, put it in a bowl, put it in a different place, and mm-hmm. don't you have the owner, you don't want to have anxiety and put pressure on the dog about eating this new food, because, you know, dogs pick up on that energy, right? So we're just going to ease them into it, right?
And yes, you want to ease them into it, and you don't want any digestive upsets. And like you said, you want it to be their decision that they want to eat it. And, you know, you don't want to go into starvation mode to get them to eat something. That doesn't make sense. So you'll see if you keep switching your protein until they you finally find one that really interests them. But most of the time, tripe does it. Having tripe in the meatballs usually does it. Fine.
And we've got all different types of proteins. We've got chicken, we've got beef, we've got rabbit, we've got goat, an all-star bully blend that is a beef and a chicken and a tripe. We've got a rabbit and a tripe. So we have so many different proteins. Certainly if you choose something like the tripe variety pack, where it has all tripe in each one of the chubs. Now, here's the thing. People are going to say, all right, I get that. I'll do the meatballs. But how much do I buy for my dog? And typically, the rule of thumb is going to be, and this is a guideline, 2 to 2.5 to 3% sometimes, and I even see the Vizsla breed going to 4% of their body weight. There are some of these really, really active dogs. But in the raw world, the way that typically our raw feeders, like Carmen, are figuring out how much to buy, they do 2 to 2.5% of the optimal breed's body weight. So for instance, let's just take a 60-pound dog. A 60-pound dog should be eating 1.5 pounds a day. So you're going to take that 2% of 60 pounds, or 2.5 of 60 pounds, and you're going to turn that into ounces. That'll give you how much you're going to feed. Carmen, you have Bouviers. What's your calculation on how much to feed your boobs?
Well, the other thing that not only activity level of the breed makes a difference, but also whether they're spayed or neutered. And so you have to maintain their body weight in a correct proportion of muscle to bone. You don't want an overweight dog, and you don't want an underweight dog. So I don't even use a scale in weighing my dogs. I do to start out the diet, but and a growing dog, you have to continually increase their diet. And I always start at a 3% on a puppy, 3% the body weight on a puppy. And then when you get into what I call their life transitions, like when they go from puppyhood to adulthood, or they get spayed or neutered, majority of time you have to cut back and go to either a 1.5% of their total body weight, or, you know, on the slight side of 2% per day. But the thing that you always have to do to maintain the correct weight on your dog is to do the three tests. Dee Dee, do you know what the three tests are? You don't need a scale for it. They're on-hand tests.
Go ahead.
All right, so there's three tests to see if your dog is the right weight. One is what they call the rib test. And so you put your two thumbs together, and you start right in the dog. You put those two thumbs right on the dog's withers. Dog is in a standing position. And you take your thumbs, and you run towards the tail down the spine. And you want your fingers to feel just the roundness of the rib. No more, no less. If your fingers fall in between the ribs, like you're going over speed bumps, your dog's too thin. All right, and then in that case, too thin or too heavy, you can't feel the rounds of the rib, then you need to use a target weight. Say you think, well, I need to decrease their diet by 5 pounds. You know, their target weight is really 55 pounds instead of 60 pounds. Then you use 55 pounds to feed your dog. And, of course, then proceed for a couple weeks and see if it's working. The second test is what we call the profile test, with the dog standing. Your top line, you look at your top line, and then your bottom line, starting behind the dog's elbows where the chest is, Your chest should then tuck up into a nice flank area. So you should see that kind of upslope into the flank area, nice and tight and firm. If that doesn't happen, and there's some breeds that won't happen with, like a Basset Hound, but the majority of breeds do have a tuck up, and you want to see that. And then the third test is what we call the visual top line test. There, if you're standing behind the dog at his rear and he's standing, you should see nice, hard, firm shoulder muscles go into a slight rounding at the ribs, and then again a nice tuck in at the flank area, and then nice, round, firm, what we call hams or flat of the thighs, so that your dog should have a very nice shape to it when they're on the right amount of raw diet for their weight. And I'm not a believer in crash dieting dogs at all. So if your dog is either overweight or underweight, I don't just pour it to them, you know, give them a pound extra each day or something like that. I literally start out with just a couple ounces added to it until I work them up. Otherwise, you're going to get fat instead of muscle on the dog. If you already have fat, then you're going to get a lot of times you're going to get behavioral problems of them, you know, trying to find food, you know, trying to get in the trash, trying to get on the counter if you crash them too hard, too fast. And I don't want that for my dog. So I do everything very slowly. And you can use those three checks, those three weight checks, anytime. You don't need to go to a vet or find a scale to see if they're the right weight. It's visual and feeling to see if he's got the right muscle to bone ratio. All right? And it's really important, especially if you have an athletic dog or a dog that's working in performance events, or you're showing your dog. But health-wise and longevity-wise, it's important for all dogs to maintain a correct muscle-to-bone ratio. Okay?
Okay.
Now,
so the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to figure out what type of breed we have and how active they are, and we're going to look at what is their optimal weight. And again, it's a guideline. And so if you figure, all right, my dog's going to eat a pound and a half a day, you can start figuring out how much dog food you're going to need. Second step in the transition that you just talked about is we're going to take 4 days, continuing to feed the kibble, but we're going to take, according to the size of your dog, whether that's small, medium, or large, meatballs, three at a time, put them on a different plate, possibly if they're, you know, not liking those meatballs or maybe looking at them funny or wondering what the heck they're doing in their bowl, put them in a bowl that's beside the kibble. And then we're going to do the I'm a poop watcher.
You betcha.
Watching poop go by. Yeah, you got to watch it. You know, we all become experts at the poop. And we're going to do that for 4 days. Now, the next step, Carmen, are we going to keep those three dime-size, quarter-size, nickel-size meatballs for 4 days? We're only going to do that. And are we going to do that once a day or twice a day?
You're going to do it twice a day as long as the dog's, you know, stools look good. Like I said, if they don't look good, you're going to take one of the meatballs away until the stools firm up again. And if they still don't look good, take another one away. Some dogs' pancreases are slower than others. Others are faster. But on the average, it's 4 days. After the 4 days, then you start weighing your meat, decreasing your kibble, until eventually your dog is totally on raw meat and the kibble is gone. Okay? And that, again, have to watch the stools to make sure as you increase the raw meat and decrease the kibble that they don't get soft stools or diarrhea.
Got it. And, Carmen, typically, do you find that in the transition – we have some people, let me just say this, we have some people that just, boom, just take the kibble away and they go straight into the raw and they don't have any problems at all. But we
then
want
they
people
should be
to
happy.
Have a good experience with the raw. Yeah, that's right. We want people to have a good experience with the raw, and we want to make it as easy as possible. So this really is a great way to do it. Now, I want to ask you about dogs that are addicted to their kibble, and it may take them a while to fall in love with the raw dog food. Now, you and I have dogs. We have a German Shepherd. You have Boobies. We don't have any trouble with these dogs loving their raw dog food. But we do have some clients that say, you know what? They just stood there and they sniffed at it and they wanted their kibble. There is an addiction process with dogs and kibble. Am I right?
You are very right. It's just like children with candy, or even adults that get what we call sugar addicted or carbohydrate addicted. And dogs go through the same thing, because with kibble dog food and all the carbohydrates that's in it, it gives the dog a sugar high within 30 to 40 minutes of them eating it. And, of course, with a raw diet, they don't get that. They don't get that sugar high. And so, yes, there is an addiction to this. And that's why some dogs will look at the raw meat like it's foreign, and they won't eat it. So, but dogs do eat by their sense of smell, and you can, like I said, if you use enough tripe in the meatballs, and some dogs you may have to use just tripe in the meatballs, the three meatballs to start out with, to get them to get interested in the raw diet. But it's well worth the transitioning and sometimes the touchiness of getting them off the addiction of the carbohydrates in the kibble dog food and getting them onto the protein dog food. And the neat thing, when they are on an all raw meat diet, you don't get the sugar highs. You don't get dogs bouncing off the walls like ping pong balls. They end up having a nice, steady, even temperament because they don't have the sugar highs anymore. And the really neat protein diet is that they are more satiated eating protein than they are with eating kibble, because it lasts long. It takes longer to digest. Their body digests it in a nice, slow, even pattern, and it keeps them satisfied a lot longer than kibble dog food does. So you get dogs that, you know, before were searching, you know, for dog food and or telling you what, you know, it's time for dinner. Don't be surprised if dinner goes right by them when they're totally on a raw diet, and then they go, oh, I forgot my diet. I forgot my dinner time. And it happens. And I've had several customers tell me that, oh, my dog's not, you know, bugging me to eat anymore, because their blood sugars are nice and even. The fats and the proteins contained in raw meat keep them satisfied for a lot longer period of time. Okay? So it's well worth it. Just the behavioral
longevity
and health part.
Exactly. The other part of it that you will really notice, and I'm sure you've noticed, is they don't drink as much water. When you feed a dog kibble, dry dog food, they're going to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink a lot of water, and they do a lot of that drooling. When you feed a raw diet, the moisture content is so high that their water consumption decreases. So you're going to fill up that water bowl a whole lot less, unless you've got a working dog or something like that. But the kibble, you know, really does require that they drink a lot of water.
It does. So.
And another thing that people may want to do in the raw diet is watch your dog, because some dogs like their food a little warmer than it coming straight out of, you know, being thawed out in the refrigerator. What we do, Carmen, is we use a stainless steel bowl. You never want to cook the raw because you don't, you know, that's going to negate the purpose. But what we do after we've weighed it out for Asta, our German Shepherd, is we just turn it on low. And we take that chill off of it. We don't brown it. We take the chill off of it. And, you know, stand there and stir it for a little bit. And it only takes a couple of minutes to do that. But what, you know, when we very first started feeding her raw, I noticed that she was having tears come out of her eyes, right? Because the food was cold. Now some people love, some dogs love it, but we warm hers up. And then we make sure we set the stainless steel bowl over to the side so that you don't sit it right down in front of the dog after that so that they lick the bowl and now they burnt their tongue. You want to make sure the bowl cools down as well. But that's mm-hmm. how we do it. How do you do it?
To be honest, Dee Dee, I've never had that problem. My guys are more like the ones that'll eat it as it's dead frozen, you know, hard as a rock. In the summertime, sometimes I do throw them frozen so that they can eat it out on the porch and it cools them down. I've never had the problem of having to warm it up.
Well, I have to tell you that Asta eats her chicken paws, her chicken feet, and her mm-hmm. salmon frozen, totally frozen. Now,
yep.
Rick, my husband, will just throw it out there frozen, and you know, but Mom here, I run it under the water so that it doesn't stick to her tongue. She could probably care less, but I just get the frost off of it. But anyway, so yeah, you have to take a look and see, you know, what your pet's preferences. And if you're already feeding, let's say, a canned dog food, maybe you want to make a pate out of, you know, your raw. Smash it up a little bit and add a small amount of water. You what? Say that one more time.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was interrupted.
Oh, no problem. You might hear when we're talking with Carmen, she usually has about, I don't know, 15 dogs with her at any one time. How many dogs do you have with you today?
Today I have 15. Yesterday I had 19.
Oh, my goodness. And how you keep them all quiet is beyond me. But every now and then I'll hear one of them trying to get your attention. But
right.
But that's awesome. I love it that you take care of so many dogs. But so don't make this transition harder than it has to be. Number one, you know, we've talked about on shows about, you know, getting that idea of bacteria out of your head. Clean your utensils. Yes, to make a meatball, you're going to have to roll these up with your hands. Put on some plastic gloves if you need to. Roll those meatballs up. And then in about 4 days, Carmen, right? In about 4 days,
right.
They should be able to get rid of that kibble and go straight to raw. Am I correct?
If you've had really good success with the three meatballs the whole 4 days, some dogs can do that. Other dogs, you have to slowly decrease the kibble and increase your raw until you're only feeding raw. Depends on your dog. You have to really, really watch their bowels, you know, their poop and how they're reacting to the food and make sure that pancreas is kicking in and making the enzymes necessary to digest the food. And you can only tell that by going out and looking at the poop.
And, so, you know, don't be alarmed that you're going to be feeding a smaller amount in the bowl of the raw than the kibble. You know, typically people are putting a ton of kibble in a bowl and the raw is a certain amount, right? A pound and a half,
right.
So to speak. If you got a 60-pound dog, you're going to divide that by two. So it's not going to be as much food, but that's all they need. They don't need that big bowl of kibble.
Because the raw diet is very nutrient dense. A lot of calories. If you compare calories for calories, a cup of the average dog food is 345 calories per kilocalories per cup, whereas a cup of beef is in your 535 calories per cup. So you see the difference in the calories between kibbled dog food and raw diet? It's pretty significant.
Right.
That's why you don't feed as much.
That's right. All right. Well, as always, it's already time for us to say goodbye. But if you have any questions, you want us to answer your questions right here on air, just send us an email at info at rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Go to our site, rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Lots of great information there, and you can see all the different proteins and even read about the myths and misconceptions of raw. Learn what it's all about right here at the Raw Dog Food Truth. Because you know what, Carmen? Friends don't let friends
feed kibble.
That's right. That's right. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Have a good one and feed your dog raw. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.